It's the middle of August. The sun is out. It's nearly 30 degrees here in Vancouver. And from coast to coast to coast in this great land we call Canada, people are talking about ice hockey. Or as we like to call it, life. Sadly, the biggest issue on our plates is not how fast someone can skate or how many goals Mason Raymond might score in the upcoming season. No. Most of us are talking about a man named Richard Bloch. Or Bloch, or just Richard. If you're really familiar with him, you might call him Dick. I'm Jason Carrillo.
And I'm Chris Withers.
And we are Pucked in the Head. Yes, we're here to talk about front-loaded contracts today, and I'm, of course, here with my friend Chris Withers. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Not too bad, Jason.
We're actually recording out of doors today. It's a lovely day. We are in the parking lot of a North Burnaby school, to remain nameless.
To remain nameless. You just called it a North Burnaby school. There aren't that many in North Burnaby, my friend.
But I'm not naming it. There is, however, a huge sculpture of a Viking on the property, so anyone from around here probably knows what I'm talking about. First of all, we have some news. Of course, as you heard in the intro, we have a new name already.
We do.
We are Pucked in the Head.
We are.
Dave Allen gave us that little nugget. Dave will be receiving a prize. Have we determined what that prize was?
I think there was a yearbook on the line.
Yearbook. I may even buy him a pint. So we're here to talk front-loaded contracts. People in Vancouver really don't give a good goddamn about Ilya Kovalchuk.
No.
One way or another.
He's a scorer, the pure scorer that can't perform in the playoffs, so why would we?
Well, and to be fair, he has been most of his career in Atlanta, which, how many playoff berths did he have there?
Well, he had at least one.
Okay.
And some would argue that that's partially his fault.
He didn't really have a supporting cast.
You know what? You were one of the biggest proponents of star players taking it on themselves.
True
to
enough.
Get themselves into the playoffs.
True enough, but the only player to outscore him in that time, just goals I'm talking here, the only player, Ovechkin.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Ovechkin is the only player who has outscored Ilya Kovalchuk in the past five seasons. That's a pretty darn good player. He's scoring that many goals in Atlanta.
Yeah. If he'd scored a few more, they might have had a couple more playoff berths. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know, man. I'm sorry. He is the real deal.
Yeah, he does have a nose for the net.
So the big story, of course, and most people know this by now, you and I have never shied away from being late to a party. However, Ilya Kovalchuk, 27 years old, signs a 17-year, $102 million contract with Lou Lamoriello in New Jersey. And the NHL rejects the deal.
They do. They stamp it, rejected, and the game show sound effect plays from coast to coast.
So this guy signed a deal which was incredibly front-loaded, right?
Yes.
So he was going to get 2 years at $6 million and then 5 years at 11.5. And then things kind of take a dive. So you've got a year at 10.5, a year at 8.5, a year at 6.5, a year at 3.5, a year at 750.
And then they're basically expecting him to be out of the league because the rest of the contract is 5 years.
So he's 27 years old now. A 17-year-old contract would take him to the age of 44.
Yes.
What the NHL is saying and what the arbitrator, Richard Bloch, agreed with is that this was purposefully circumventing the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, by averaging a cap hit of $6 million per year.
Mm-hmm. That, to me, is one of the most unusual statements I've ever heard. He's essentially saying that you can follow every precept of the collective bargaining agreement and still circumvent it.
They have a stipulation in the CBA which says that agents and GMs must submit a form to the NHL prior to every season, basically a contractual agreement that they have not circumvented the CBA.
Yes.
Now, these front-loaded contracts, if the player fully intends to play all of those seasons, like, for example, Rick DiPietro in Long Island signed a 4,000-year deal, has been injured a lot, but he fully intended to play all of those four millennia. The thing is that the Islanders agreed to pay him a set salary for all of those seasons. So the cap hit and the salary were the same.
Yes.
It was not a front-loaded contract.
No,
right?
It was just very dumb.
It was probably not a bright move by Mr. Snow. We haven't seen any bright moves by Mr. Snow so far. With the possible exception of buying John Tavares a Tonka truck at the beginning of last season, which worked fairly well.
It did, yeah.
The Kovalchuk deal is probably just going to be reworked. He will probably end up in New Jersey anyway. He will probably still make obscene amounts of money.
How do you figure that? Because this deal was structured under the CBA in such a way to fit Kovalchuk under the Devil's salary cap.
They will probably find a way to make it work. Just like years ago, Bruce McNall in L.A. Put Wayne Gretzky not on a hockey contract, put him on a personal services contract, so that any money, any and all money that was paid to Wayne Gretzky by Bruce McNall was a personal outside of hockey contract. And his salary with the L.A. Kings was much lower on the books.
Now that is circumventing the CBA.
And, I mean, they're always going to look for a loophole in order to get somebody in that may not fit into...
They had a loophole. You know, five players specifically were targeted by the have been targeted by the NHL for using this loophole. It's a loophole that was left in the collective bargaining agreement. You can do this. What the arbitrator has come and said now is that by extending a contract past the typical retirement age... whatever that is.
Which, it's not whatever that is, actually. In the last, I believe it's 10 years, I don't have the stat right in front of me, I apologize, but in the last 3,400 NHL players to come and go in the NHL, guess how many played past the age of 42? Out of 3,400.
I'm going to say a half a dozen.
Six is the correct answer. Six. This is a statistically significant fact that NHL players do not play past the age of 42. So when you look at a contract that takes Ilya Kovalchuk...
We're talking about a legal contract. For some reason that I don't understand, and I'm obviously not a lawyer, precedent has now been set that says the NHL can reject a contract without setting the terms under which it is rejecting that contract.
Now, this is the thing that bothers me. I don't mind them rejecting the Kovalchuk deal. What I mind is the fact that they have rejected it without giving a guideline by which a player and a team would be not rejectable.
Yeah.
This is the thing I think is a little bit dangerous. The NHL... and the NHLPA do not have a hard and fast guideline to follow now. This is going to mean another work stoppage.
It could very well.
I'm sorry, but that in 1994 sucked.
And it sucked worse in 2004.
Yeah, I mean, whether we miss half a season, whether we miss a full season. You know what? I don't care if we miss a week.
It's too much. I cannot honestly see the NHL going into another lockout. I just can't.
And this is important. Earlier I said work stoppage. They were both lockouts, officially.
Yes.
As much as Bettman has really done some good things for the GMs, and yeah, you know what? As much as I hate to admit it, hockey's been pretty entertaining the last couple of seasons.
It certainly has, yeah.
The guy cannot let another work stoppage, lockout, a missed exhibition game cannot happen.
How would he sell it to the fans? That's the reason that I don't think it'll happen is because there's no way that the NHL can sell it this time. When they missed a season, Bettman was steadfast.
He said it was for the good of the game.
It was for the good of the game. He was going to make it more entertaining, and he was going to bring cost certainty to the league.
Which he has done.
Now,
to a certain point.
He has, yes. Now, what do you do? How does the NHL sell this if they want to pay the players less?
Now this is something that interests me because a lot of people are trying to blame players. A lot of people in this city are saying, oh, maybe they can take back Luongo's contract. Hey, let's sign Antti Niemi. I'm sorry, you people are idiots. As much as I love you, you are Vancouver Canucks fans, so you say, I'm sorry, getting rid of Luongo and signing somebody who's won a couple of games with a really stellar crew in front of him is not the way to go.
No, I don't think so either.
The GMs are the ones who are shooting themselves in the foot. Like, Stan Bowman, as brilliant as he was to do the things he did and put that team together, he learned a lot from his dad, but he did it on his own. He's the guy who signed Marian Hossa to...
Hossa was a 12-year
deal. Sorry, a 12-year deal, which takes him to the age of 43, 42, something like that. He's got a cap hit of $5.25 million well into the 2020s for this guy. And he won a cup in his first season with the Hawks. I mean, this is a $63 million, can we call it an albatross if they won a cup? I mean, they've had to clear house of their bottom six forwards.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see them repeating.
And they've still got some pretty good players.
They do, and I can certainly see them making the playoffs. But repeating, I don't think they're deep enough anymore.
Seabrook, Campbell, Kane, Captain Sirius.
You're making assumptions with Seabrook or with Campbell. You know, that's another huge contract.
It is a huge contract. That's true. But so let's take a look at Hossa's contract. He's got 7 years. He's making $8 million just about. Then he's got a year at $4 million, and then the last 4 years of his contract, he goes down to $1
million,
which is a cap hit of $5.25 million. So really, Bowman is only saving $2.7 million per year of cap hit.
That's a pretty significant
savings.
But
at the beginning. But look at the Kovalchuk deal. The Kovalchuk deal is extreme, man. He's going to make paychecks of $11.5 million and $10.5 million in the first 6 years of that contract. Cap hit is only $6
million. Mm-hmm.
He's basically halving the cap hit during those seasons.
I don't care. He did it. Lou Lamoriello negotiated that contract under the terms of the collective bargaining agreement.
You don't think that does indeed circumvent the spirit of the, maybe not the words of the deal, but it circumvents the spirit of the competition, the idea of competition in having a salary cap. You don't think that it circumvents the, like, isn't this like bad faith?
No, I don't. Because the trade-off is that it's untradeable. You know, it's going to be extremely difficult down the road to trade away Ilya Kovalchuk, because who's going to want to take on $5.25 million when he's, you know, in his late 30s and putting up 10 goals a year?
It is an interesting question. As much as I dislike the fact that we're talking about, you know, really fine details of contracts, I do kind of miss the days when I didn't know how much players made.
Yeah.
Right? And then players for the first 5 or 6 years of their careers made very little, and they made more at the ends of their careers because they were the elder statesmen. Like, Stan Smeal had one of the biggest contracts in the Western Conference. He was making something like $650,000 in his last season, or something like that.
Those were the days, eh?
And that was a huge contract back then.
Yeah.
Ray Bourque, now Richard Bloch, who a lot of people say is an NHL stooge, he awarded Ray Bourque $2.5 million or so in arbitration. This was the largest defenseman contract in the league at that point. This was a multi-Norris Trophy winner making 2 point something.
Yeah. Well,
speaking of Norris Trophy winners, Chris Pronger. Now, his contract does something a little more extreme at the end. Like Kovalchuk's, the final couple of years of his contract, he's making league minimum, $525,000.
That's right.
He's making $7.6 million this year. In the final 2 years of his contract, $525,000. What are the chances he'll actually play at the age of 41 and 42 for $525,000?
For a defenseman, I think much more likely than Kovalchuk.
Do you think he's going to play for $500K?
I won't rule out the possibility. It's going to depend on his drive, whether or not he, you know, has more success with the Flyers, whether or not he gets back to another cup. I don't know. I don't know Chris Pronger.
Now, again, this significantly lowers the current day cap hit. He gets $7.6 million, cap hit $4.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got $3 million basically to play with. Luongo this year, he's going to make $10 million in his bank account. He's got a cap hit of $5.35 million. That means, well, that's basically Keith Ballard's salary.
Yeah.
Right there. Keith Ballard's salary. Dan Hamhuis's salary this year is the cap hit reduction because of this front-loaded contract.
That's
that
right.
Signed. Now, and is that fair? Is it fair to other teams in the league,
course,
do you think?
Of course it is, because everybody is playing under the same damn rules.
So then why is the Kovalchuk deal no good? but the other deals are okay. They're carbon copies of each other.
That is what I want an answer to. That is what I really do. I want to know how you can follow every single clause of the contract and still have it deemed circumvention.
So, okay, now let's just say, devil's advocate here. I want to sign Chris Withers to my hockey team in the NHL, okay?
Yeah, you're going to have to play more than devil's advocate.
I have been taking Garth Snow pills, okay? And I want to sign him to a 50-year deal. He's going to get a $10 million paycheck this year, but then every other season after that, because we just want to get a cup this year. Every other season after that, he's going to get league minimum. So you're saying that deal should be approved. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying that as long as you are following every clause in the CBA, which all of these contracts have done, then yes, it should be approved. I think that when the next CBA comes around, they should close that loophole and that they should put in some restrictions on how long a contract can last for, or put in some kind of restriction so that if you're making X amount of dollars, you can't make less than a certain percentage of that at any point.
Well, I mean, now that, I don't think that works. Marty Turco, he was making 5-something. This year he's taken 1.7
Yeah.
from the wing. We see it. Teemu Selänne and Paul Kariya both signed at a discount together. They got $1 million each to play in Colorado because they thought they'd get a cup that year playing with Sakic and Forsberg.
Then limit the length of the contract. I don't have a problem with that either. Say you can't sign more than a 7-year contract and limit it that way.
Would the NHLPA go for that?
I don't know.
I don't think they would. Just from a union perspective, CBA comes along and tells Garth Snow that he cannot sign Rick DiPietro to that lifetime contract. So DiPietro can only sign a 7-year deal. Okay, he's making good money. He gets injured in his first year. He lost out on all those millions that he... Now, he's guaranteed that, whether he plays or not. Why shouldn't a player be able... If the GM is stupid enough to waste his cap space on him, why shouldn't the player be allowed to string the GM for that money? Why is the league protecting the GMs?
The league needs to, I think, save some face for itself. It's become a laughingstock. The Kovalchuk deal, I agree, is ridiculous in both length and structure.
Okay.
I don't think that it should be allowed, but it is, and I think, therefore, it must be registered. It's obviously a moot point now.
Okay. We've got 5 players right now that have deals that if you lay them over one another on a transparency, they look almost identical. Kovalchuk, the only thing that's different about his is the length. Mm-hmm. But they all basically go to the same age group. Savard's deal in Boston takes him to 40 years old.
Yeah.
It's this year, it's saving the Boston Bruins $3 million in cap hit. Pronger's deal takes him to 42 years old.
You keep saying that this year it's going to, or that it's saving them cap hit.
Yeah.
But should he play, not even to the end of his contract, but into year 5 of his contract, at which time he would only be 38, then it's going to be costing them $3 million
in cap hit. But here's the deal, Chris. If they retire at the end of this contract, because the contract takes them past the age of 40, the team, according to the CBA, is still on the hook for the full cap hit, even if they retire. So when Pronger retires, there's no way that Kovalchuk would have retired or would have played for $750,000 and $550,000 for those last 6 years.
Right.
He probably would have retired at the age of 38. If he retires at the age of 38, the Devils are still on the hook for the $6 million cap hit for those final 6 years. Stan Bowman is on the hook for the full $63.3 million worth of cap hit for Hossa, even when he retires early.
So I don't think that's correct.
So
I think there's a specific class of contract, a retirement contract, that you can only sign after a certain age.
Well, we'll have to do some research on that and come back to it. I'm pretty sure that if Hossa right now should retire and not play those final 4 years at 1.0 million, that Bowman is still on the hook for that 5.25 million cap hit.
So and you think if he retires like right this second, that they're still on the hook for the rest of his contract?
Yep, I believe that. I believe that's true.
All right.
I might be mistaken.
All right, well,
I've been mistaken before.
This is one of those issues that I think could go around and around and around forever.
And it certainly is. The NHL, they're not investigating anymore. They are looking at the Luongo, Savard, Pronger, and Hossa deals. Now, if they were to decide that Hossa's contract was a circumvention, it's in the CBA that they can forfeit games. So are they going to take Chicago's cup away?
That's why I don't think they'll open the can of worms.
But they did by voiding Kovalchuk's deal.
Well, by open the can of worms, I mean deregister a contract that had already been registered, such as Hossa, such as Luongo's.
As much as I don't like the deals, okay, I honestly don't think the deals are great. The fact is they've got four on record, the players are playing, they're getting their paychecks. Kovalchuk's deal is a carbon copy. It's just longer. But every other facet of the deal is exactly the same as these other contracts. The NHL is a laughingstock on this.
Do you think that they'll deregister them?
I can't see how they could do it without voiding Chicago's cup.
And do you give it to Philly then?
No, well, Pronger also has that deal. Honestly, any player who has played a game under these contracts...
So would they have to do like a Montreal-San Jose cup final all over again?
And we would have to go up and down those rosters to see if there's any contract that even has a sniff of this.
No, that's getting ridiculous, and I don't think they'll do it.
I don't think so either. Yeah. But I honestly, I can't see how the NHL, with a straight face, can say no to this deal when they've already got four that they let go.
Because of the scope.
Again, Luongo's contract, because of the cap hit savings, allowed them to go and sign Dan Hamhuis.
Yeah. I don't know what more I can say that I haven't already said. It should be allowed under the current system.
All right. We basically solved nothing, which is what we set out to do on a daily basis.
We talked and talked and talked.
Ilya Kovalchuk will probably play in New Jersey, will probably score 40 goals. You should probably pick him in your hockey pool. So, Chris?
It's been a pleasure as always, Jason.
Thanks for coming out. Thank you for sharing this lovely afternoon.
Yes.
And
nothing like sitting on a park bench in beautiful weather, talking about the mundane drudgery that is the NHL CBA.
Yes. Frankly, it has been a wonderful day, and I hope to repeat it soon.
I think we will.
All right. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Pucked in the Head.
The preceding podcast has been a production of PuckedInTheHead.com. Any and all reproduction, with or without authorization, is strictly for nerds. Someone couch in the lane, I heard the drunken voices dragging on some old refrain. But I'm climbing back on the train. I can explain if you'll just let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon.
Time for a change.
Vancouver really don't give a good goddamn about Ilya Kovalchuk.